Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Thank you all for coming. There is a saying in the Babylonian Talmud in Megillah 13b, which says, "The Holy One, blessed be he, does not strike at the Jewish people unless he has already created a remedy for them beforehand. As it is stated, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered." And that scripture references Hosea 7:1. The Megillah continues, "But this is not so with the nations of the world. With them, God first strikes them, and only afterward does he create a remedy. As it is stated, and the Lord shall smite Egypt, smiting and healing." Isaiah 19:22. Is it possible that Adonai could see the fall of the northern 10 tribes well in advance? The answer is yes, without question. As a matter of fact, he left clues for us as far back as Genesis. And tonight we're going to look at that in some brief detail. Why didn't God just intervene and stop his chosen people from stumbling? Every single parent who is listening tonight and will be listening in the days to come knows that raising a child requires patience, diligence, and constant forgiveness. And that doesn't include the messes, the spills, and the accidents. Years ago, when I was raising my son, diapers were a 50-50 proposition. I'm told that the technology has changed and babies can no longer free themselves after they have completed the discharge. As much as we want to jump in and intervene at every single run, every time the child runs, every game they play, every fight they get in, and we want to make them eat every bite, the fact is, we quickly learn that doing so destroys the child's will and their desire to learn, to explore, and eventually to love life. Adonai sees the ending from the beginning, yet he gives us free will. Based on my own life, there are times when I wish the divine presence would just kind of lean over and whisper to me and tell me, "Shut up." But it doesn't happen all the time. And I have been left to repair the breaches that I make. But know this, there has also been times when Adonai has stepped in and saved my life from accidents, attacks, car crashes, and violence. Now, why would he allow us to go through this? Because those who agree to walk in Torah covenant, he chastises. In the Brit Hadashah, there is one letter, the New Testament, there's one letter that should be required reading for anyone who wants to follow Messiah Yeshua. Believers should be herded into a room, required to sit down and sign their name that they have read and understand this letter. The book is addressed to Jewish believers in the New Testament and the Brit Hadashah. We call it Hebrews. And I'm going to read a quote for you from the book of Hebrews. "Have you forgotten the warning addressed to you as sons? My son, do not take lightly the discipline of Adonai, or lose heart when you are corrected by him." because Adonai disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he accepts. It is for discipline that you endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son does a father not discipline? But if you are without discipline, something that all have come to share, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. Why do I read this? Why do I give you this story? Because I'm going to focus on one tribe in particular. Deuteronomy, the book of Devarim, makes it clear that Adonai revealed to Moses that the children of Israel will go astray and that they will be punished if they do. Remember, I said he revealed this earlier in Genesis? In Genesis 48, Joseph brings his sons to be blessed by his dying father, Jacob. Joseph presents the boys and arranges them by age. Jacob, through the eyes of the Ruach Elohim, recognizes that one boy will grow into a powerful nation that will dominate its siblings. Jacob crosses his hands. Joseph, looking on, believes his aged father is making a mistake. So he says to him, this is Genesis 48, 18 through 19. Joseph said to his father, "Don't do it that way, my father. But this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know that, my son. I know it. He too will become a people, and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will grow into many nations." Once again, Genesis 48, 18 through 19. Ephraim becomes the leader of the northern 10 tribes. And now I'm going to share some basic facts about Ephraim that many of us may or may not have been aware of. Ephraim fulfilled Jacob's prophecy in the days after the Exodus from Egypt. They are also fulfilling that prophecy today, but this is actually a whole different, more complicated discussion for another time. The leader who led the tribes into the promised land was Joshua, an Ephraimite. In Psalm 78, written by the descendants of Korah's rebellion, written in the days of King David, the song shows how the people of Ephraim were fierce warriors, but they retreated in battle, and they refused to walk in Torah and worshiped on high places. And Adonai abandoned Shiloh, where Joshua rested the tabernacle in the northern tribes, the northern area, after more than 400 years. Now, reading Psalm 78, then he detested Joseph's tent and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. Instead, he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. Psalm 78, verses 67 through 69. It seems like we have read this, many of us have read this psalm without noticing what that cultural reference, what that historical reference means. Just to back up a little bit, after Joshua brought the tribes into the promised land, he settled the tabernacle in Shiloh. Ephraim, Joshua's tribe, were the leaders in helping to demolish the nations before them. This psalm says that God chose the tribe of Judah and that he rejected, or he actually detested, Joseph's tent. And we know who that is because he names who that tribe is, Ephraim. And you'll see later on as we read that Joseph's tent is often referred to as Ephraim. You see, even in prophecy, not far from the time of David, Ephraim is now the leader of the whole northern 10 tribes. It gets better. After the death of David and Solomon, Jeroboam the first, in 1 Kings 11, he was a servant of Solomon. And yet he led the northern tribes away from the house of David to worship golden calves, which we discussed in the book of Amos. So you see, Ephraim kind of has a love-hate relationship, but that's not the end of the story. Long after the disappearance of the 10 tribes, long after the people have been scattered, in Jeremiah 7, God tells Jeremiah to not pray for Judah because they have committed acts similar to what caused the destruction of the northern kingdom, even going so far as to say, look what he did to Shiloh, the once great resting place of the Mishkan, and also what he did to the entire family of Ephraim, who bears the shame of the northern 10 tribes. But that's not the whole story. Let's look a little bit deeper. Adonai fondly remembers Ephraim as the leader of the house of Joseph, an honored position. And he commands Ezekiel to create a stick and write on it the name of Ephraim and to rebind it to the house of Judah. Once again, this is years after Israel has been carried into captivity. Reading from Ezekiel 37, the word of Adonai came to me saying, you, son of man, take one stick and write on it for Judah, where Bnei Israel joined with him. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel joined with him. Say to them, thus says Adonai, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel joined with him, and I will put them together with the stick of Judah and make them one stick. They will be one in my hand. Ezekiel 37, 15, 16, and verse 19. So even after the people have been carried off in captivity, they've been punished. God still fondly remembers the people of Ephraim. In Jeremiah 37, Adonai says of Ephraim that he is his dear son. I hear Ephraim bemoaning himself. You disciplined me, and I took your discipline like a young ox, not used to a yoke. Let me return, and I will return, for you are Adonai, my God. Isn't Ephraim my very dear son, a child who delights me so? I speak about him all the time. I can't help but recall him to mind. In sum, I deeply yearn for him. I will surely show him favor, says Adonai. So before we put in our minds, oh, Ephraim is bad, consider these facts. Ephraim, led by Joshua, conquered the promised land. The tabernacle of God was set up in Shiloh, protected by Ephraim's tribe. Although they did battle with other tribes during the period of Judges, and they did turn to idolatry during this period in Hosea, as we will read. And they were punished by God, scattered through the nations. One thing remains: Adonai loves and longs for that fierce warrior who conquered the promised land. So don't get down on Ephraim, and remember the words of the prayer that we all say. Make us like Ephraim and Manasseh. So now, let us go ahead and listen to the book of Hosea, chapters 5 through 9.
Hosea chapter 5. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment applies to you. For you were a snare at Mizpah, and a net spread on table. Rebels will deepen slaughter, so I am a chastisement for them all. I myself have known Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, Ephraim, you are a prostitute. Israel is defiled. They will not give up their evil deeds to return to their God. For a spirit of prostitution is in them, and Adonai they have not known. The pride of Israel will answer to his face. Israel and Ephraim will stagger in their iniquity. Judah also will stumble with them. With their flocks and with their herds, they will go to seek Adonai, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have betrayed Adonai, for they have begotten foreign children. Now the new moon will devour them with their portions. Blow a shofar in Gibeah, a trumpet in Ramah. Song an alarm at Beth Aven. Behind you, Benjamin, Ephraim will become desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I made known what is certain. The princes of Judah were like those who move a boundary mark. I pour out my fury on them like water. Oppressed is Ephraim, crushed by judgment, for he willingly followed a worthless thing. So I will be like a moth to Ephraim and like decay to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, Ephraim went to Assyria and sent envoys to a warring king. But he cannot heal you, nor will he cure your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and nobody will rescue. I will go and return to my place until they admit their guilt. Then they will seek my face. In their distress, they will seek me earnestly.
Hosea 6. Come, let us return to Adonai, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has smitten, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise us up, and we will live in his presence. So let us know, let us strive to know Adonai. Like dawn, his going forth is certain. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter rain watering the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do for you? O Judah, what will I do for you? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud or like dew rising early, vanishing. Therefore, I cut them down by the prophets. I slew them by the words of my mouth. Not the judgments pronounced against you. Light will go forth. For I delight in loyalty and not sacrifice. Knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed a covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with bloody footprints, like marauding bands waiting for a man. So a company of priests murders on the way towards Shechem. For they have committed crime. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's prostitution is there. Israel has become unclean. Also, Judah, there is a harvest for you when I return my people from captivity.
Hosea chapter 7. When I would have healed Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, even the wickedness of Samaria, for they practiced fraud. So a thief breaks in, a marauding band will raid outside. But they will never admit in their heart that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds are all around them. They are right before my face. They gladden the king with their evil, and the princes with their lies. All of them are practicing adultery. As an oven heated by a baker who stops stirring or kneading dough when it is leavened. On the day of our king, princes become sick from wine. His hand drags scorners along, for their hearts are like an oven as they wait in ambush. All night their anger smolders. In the morning it burns like a blazing fire. All of them are hot like an oven, and they devour their rulers. All of their kings have fallen. None among them calls on me. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim has become a pancake that never gets turned over. Strangers have devoured his strength, yet he does not know it. Gray hairs have spread on him, and he does not know it. Though the pride of Israel has answered him to his face. Yet they did not return to Adonai their God, nor seek him about all this. Ephraim is like a senseless filly dove. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. They are going, and I will spread out my net over them. I will bring them down like a bird from the sky. I will chasten them as in the report that comes to their assembly. Oy to them, for they strayed from me. Devastation to them, for they rebelled against me. Should I redeem them after they spoke lies about me? Nor did they cry out to me in their hearts when they were wailing on their beds. For the sake of grain and new wine, they slashed themselves. They keep turning away from me. I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they kept planning evil against me. They will turn back, only not upwards. They are like treacherous bow. The princes will fall by the sword because of the insolence with their tongues. This will be for their ridicule in the land of Egypt.
Hosea chapter 8. Idols throws down. Put a shofar to your mouth. Like a vulture, he comes against the house of Adonai. For they overstep my covenant and transgress my Torah. Will they cry out to me, my God, we Israel, knew you? Israel has rejected goodness, and adversary will pursue him. They crown kings, but not by me. They appoint princes I did not approve. Their silver and gold they made into idols, just so they will be cut down. Samaria, your calf is thrown down, my anger kindly against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For a craftsman from Israel made it is no God. For the calf of Samaria will be splinters. For they sow wind and they reap wind wheel. There is no mature grain. They sprout yields no meal. Should produce anything, strangers will swallow up. Israel has been swallowed up. Now they are among the nations like an ornament with no delight in. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey alone by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers, although they hide among the nations. I will now round them up, so they will begin to decrease under the burden of a king and princes. When Ephraim multiply altars for making sin offerings, they become his altar for sinning. Though I were to write out for him 10,000 things from my Torah, they are regarded as something strange. Sacrifice are gifts for me. Should they sacrifice meat and they eat it? Adonai will not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquities and punish their sin. They'll return to Egypt, for Israel has forgot his maker and build temples, while Judah has multiplied fortified cities. So I will send the fire up unto the cities, will consume the citadels.
Hosea chapter 9. Do not rejoice, O Israel. Do not celebrate like the peoples, for so you have gone whoring away from your God. You have loved a prostitute's pay on every grain threshing floor and wine press will not sustain them, and new wine will fail her. They will not dwell in Adonai's land. Instead, Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. They will pour no wine offerings to Adonai. They would not be pleasing to him. Their sacrifices will be like the bread of mourners for them. All that eat it will be defiled, for their bread is for their appetite, not coming into the house of Adonai. What will you do for a moed or for the day of Adonai's feast? Look, even if they escape the desolation, Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them and their precious silver treasures. Weeds will possess them. Thorns will be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know the prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is mad. For great is your iniquity and great the hostility. Ephraim is a watchman with my God, a prophet, a bird. Catcher's trap is on all his paths. Hostility is in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sin. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like early fruit on a fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. They came to Baal Peor and devoted themselves to shame. So they became as detestable as the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory flies away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. For if they should raise their children, I would make them childless to the last man. Yea, woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, is like Tyre planted in a meadow. But Ephraim will bring his children out to the slayer. Give them, Adonai. What will you give them? Give them a miscarried womb and dried up breasts. All their wickedness is at Gilgal, for there I despise them because of their wicked practices. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious. Ephraim is blighted. Their root is withered. They bear no fruit. Even if they bring forth children, I will slay the cherished ones in their wombs. My God will cast them off, since they did not listen to him. So they will become wanderers among the nations.
Thank you to all of those who read tonight. Let us be rest assured that the descendants of Ephraim are actually well known to God today. And they will play a pivotal role as we move closer to the day of the Lord's vengeance and the construction of the sanctuary of the kingdom of Elohim on earth, on the mountain in Jerusalem. These events were foretold by the prophets and Messiah Yeshua. And actually, I discovered that they are also clearly confirmed by Islam that our Messiah will indeed return and establish his kingdom on this earth. Next week, we conclude the book of Hosea with a powerful vision of reconciliation and the world to come under the Messiah, Ben Elohim. Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Tzavuot, in the day I will make my own special possession. So I will spare them as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.